The White House is giving agencies 3 years to process all of their invoices electronically through a shared services provider. The Office of Management and Budget releases details for how you should make that happen as part of the president's second-term management agenda. Dave Mader is the controller and acting deputy director for management at the Office of Management and Budget. He tells executive editor Jason Miller about the new electronic invoicing requirement, or maybe not so new.
Treasury actually began working on this in 2011. And at that time, actually, you did an interview with Mark Rieger back in July of 2011, where they announced the creation and the launch of their internet payment platform, which was a Treasury product. And we've been working since that time with them, looking at, you know, how can we move the entire government to electronic payments, because there are, on an annual basis, about 19 million invoices that are paid each year. Now about 40% of them are electronic. So we have about 12 million that we want to move to electronic payments between now and, as you mentioned, 2018. And the reason we want to do that is twofold, Jason. One is there's a clear savings to the government by moving from paper to electronic. I mean, we have estimates over a couple of studies that show an annual savings of anywhere between $150 million and $260 million, which is significant savings. But I think as important, or maybe more important, the benefit there is to vendors in moving this process to electronic, especially for small businesses who are very concerned about the cash flow. So electronic obviously gives you the heightened accuracy and the prompt payment and the quick movement of payment of invoices from invoicing to actual cash in a bank for a small business. So we see this as one of those truly win-win situations. Now, the avenues that we're giving agencies, so there's a couple, like Treasury has their internet payment platform, which is basically a shared service, and we're saying agencies can move to any of those providers, and there's Treasury, and then there's a few others, or some agencies actually have their own 100%, they're doing their payments electronically, and obviously they're achieving the benefits for both industry as well as the government, and saying, just continue doing that. So we're giving, you know, people 3 years to decide what path they want to follow. But we're going to move aggressively because, as you have read the memo, 120 days after the signing of the memo, OMB and Treasury are going to develop recommendations on how we can create a central portal so that vendors have one place to go to actually invoice the government. So we're really excited about the benefits both for the government and for industry.
Now, some people will say, why wasn't this done earlier? Why is the government even still using paper? You know, when you look at the back of the e-government revolution of the 2000s and maybe even late 90s, so much was lifted and shifted that why wasn't this electronic, even just the lift and shift from paper to electronic?
I think there's a couple of reasons. One is I think we needed, as a government, to prove that this was going to be as effective as people imagined. And I think the benefit of Treasury stepping out there as a leader in 2011 and actually now proving over 3 or 4 years that, you know, this is really valuable to both government and to industry convinced us it's like it's now time to move everybody to this environment. And there's also, you know, a cost element because agencies are going to have to change their technology. They're going to have to change their business processes. So there's a cost to conversion as well. But we feel giving people, you know, a couple of years to get there, we can move that delta, that 12 million, over the next 3 years.
And that was my question. A lot of agencies look at this and go, great, another unfunded mandate from OMB. Is there ways that you can help them, you know, whether through the budget process or other ways, to find that money to make the changes to pay for it?
In this budget environment, making these kinds of investments is a challenge, and I think that's why we would definitely like to see the president's 16 budget enacted, because it gives us more flexibility than some alternatives. I think the other benefit that we're going to see from this program, actually, in an area that you have been following for years, is FITARA. I mean, this is going to bring the CFO and the CIOs together to identify what product do we use to actually move an agency from the status quo to this all-electronic environment. So I see it, you know, as a great reinforcer for the concepts that are contained in FITARA.
I know earlier versions of this memo, earlier discussion drafts, talked about telling everyone to move only to the Treasury Department's internet payment portal. That, in the end, obviously was not the what came out of the memo. Was there a reason why not just use the one portal that works that other agencies are using? I think I wrote a story just a couple months back that says over 80 agencies already are using Treasury. Mm-hmm. Why not have everyone use it?
There are a couple of departments actually that have, I wouldn't say competitor products, but they've actually achieved the outcome. And we need to focus on what the outcome is. And the outcome is we want everybody to move to electronic. Certainly, Treasury has a proven product. We're not going to authorize agencies to spend money to develop their own product. So it's basically either go to Treasury, go to one of the other providers, but we don't want you now building something new. That is not in the spirit of the shared service concept that we're pushing.
Now, I know two of those agencies are VA and DOD. Will they eventually be shared service providers? Is that another piece of the memo when you read through it talks about creating basically a governance model of sorts and when worrying about standards? Are those the other two shared service providers potentially?
They are potentially shared service providers. They haven't raised their hand and said, you know, actually DOD actually does have some other non-DOD clients. If they want to and feel comfortable picking up additional clients, we're in favor of that. But we haven't done the official designation, thou art a shared service provider. I think down the road, as we move through this process, we may do that. But again, the goal is move everybody away from paper within the, you know, three-year period.
Another piece of the memo that stood out to me was regarding the standards, and not just the establishment of the governance model for shared service providers, but looking at standards, developing electronic interfaces. Talk a little bit about that process, really the goal here, because you're looking at one portal that vendors can start from. That's where this digital interfaces come in, the APIs, and that's where the standards play a role. Is that going to be a big lift, or is that because it relates back to the Data Act that all gets done maybe at once?
Yeah, you read my mind. I mean, I think this syncs up perfectly with what we're doing in the Data Act. And I think in the case of invoices, establishing the government-wide standards won't be as heavy a lift as perhaps some of the elements that we're going to deal with down the road with the Data Act. So I'm comfortable that, again, just as it sort of reinforces FATAR, it also reinforces the Data Act, to your point.
When you take this to CFOs, you guys have done a pretty good job over the years of not just dictating a memo, but actually coming out and saying, you know, what's your review? Give us input. What kind of feedback have you heard from CFOs and others in the financial community? Are they ready to move off of paper?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it's not just the CFO community, because the memo, as you note, is co-signed by Ann Rung and I. So from a acquisition perspective, there's also, you know, and things that we've heard from the industry, you know, why are you still in the Stone Age making us submit, you know, paper invoices? I'll give you an example. When I was in the private sector before I came back into government, I had government agencies that I was supporting that said, oh, you have to send your invoice in paper. And I'm going like, but I have an all-electronic system. And they said, no, we're not equipped to do that. I mean, that was cost to me as a vendor, and it was an awful lot of time, and it's cost to them. I mean, Treasury has proved over the three-year, four-year period that they can do this faster, better, cheaper.
Now, there's several different deadlines that you set out for yourselves. And what's interesting about this is you yourself are tasking yourself with a lot of efforts. What's the timeline? What comes next? What should people expect from this memo going forward to move to electronic invoice processing?
Two key next steps. One is 120 days from the signing of the memo, Treasury, and we will come up with the recommendations on how to create this central portal, and then we'll have to figure out, you know, who's going to host it, how we're going to build it. But then also 180 days, and these are running on parallel tracks, we have to have the data standards decided. So, you know, we get the portal, we get the data standards. People, by the end of the calendar year, early in, you know, 2016, can start now thinking about when they're going to move, because we should have things in place. But we have, you know, like I said, that's where we gave people a couple of years to get there. We need to do the infrastructure work. And we're starting on that right now.
This idea of electronic invoice payment is one of several shared services in the financial community. Can you talk a little bit about maybe what's next on your agenda? What else are you looking at?
At a broader than just the CFO Act, one of the areas that we've been looking at, because we have, you know, HR lines of business, we have the shared service providers for finance, and we have some providers for acquisition. What I've been working on the last couple of months is looking at an overarching approach on how we would, as a government, govern these different service providers and create, you know, more consistency when it comes to service level agreements and better leverage the synergies that each can bring to the other. So I guess I'll put out there a teaser that, you know, look for more around shared services, you know, come the fall and winter of the 2015.
All right, Dave, you're getting me excited. More on shared services. You know how I am, because I'll bring up the Economy Act if you watch out. Final piece here, electronic invoicing, big difference. There's a lot of, I think, hope that you guys are putting around it. In the end, you mentioned benefits to both vendors and agencies. Are there some agencies who are ready to move today? Or are there some that you can just, flipping a switch maybe isn't the best analogy, but can do it very quickly?
There are a few that have been chomping at the bit to move forward. So we're going to, you know, we're going to work with the early adopters. But there isn't any, going back to your earlier question, Jason, there isn't anybody either in the acquisition community or in the finance community that's saying, you know, we don't want to do this. This is not a good thing. You know, you raise the budget issue. There are clearly, you know, those kinds of issues that we're going to have to wrestle with. But nobody's saying philosophically this is not a good idea and something we probably should have moved to long ago.